You are listening to the GTT podcast from the Canadian Council of the Blind.
Hello, this is Jerry Chevalier with the first in a series of presentations on using Windows 10 from the keyboard. Hosted by the Canadian Council of the Blind, GTT, Get Together with Technology program. Today is April 29, 2020. Learning to use Windows from the keyboard without a mouse should necessarily begin with a discussion of the keyboard. Looking at the keyboard, at the bottom we have the space bar. To its left we have an Alt key. ALT, Alt, modifies or alternates the functions of other keys that it is pressed in combination with. To the left of the Alt key is the Windows logo key. This is a very important key when using Windows from the keyboard. It is also a modifier key and is pressed in conjunction with other keys. To the left of the Windows key is the Control key, another modifier key that's pressed in combination with other keys. Moving to the right of the spacebar, we have a second Alt key. You can use either Alt key depending which key you want to press along with it. Some keyboards have two Windows keys, and in that case, the second Windows key will be beside the right Alt key. So you may have the choice of using a Windows key on either side of the spacebar. To the far right on the bottom row is another Control key, the right Control key, and it doesn't matter whether we use the left or right Control key when performing keyboard functions. To the left of this right Control key is a very special key called the Applications key. When you press the Applications key, you will be presented with a contextual menu of choices relevant to the object that has focus. If your keyboard does not have an Applications key, you can also press Shift F10. Beside the right Control key, we have an inverted T of four arrow keys. Arrows are used extensively navigating documents and other controls within Windows. Along the bottom, we have a left arrow, down arrow, and right arrow. And above the down arrow is the up arrow. Above the arrow keys, we have the so-called six-pack. This is two rows of three keys. On the top left corner of the six-pack is the insert key, which we will not discuss. It is used very infrequently in Windows. Below the insert key is the delete key, which is used frequently. It deletes the item that has focus. For example, in a document, it will delete the character following the cursor. If you're browsing a list of files in a folder and you press delete on the file that you're currently focused on, Windows will delete that file. In the middle of the six-pack, we have the home and end keys, home and underneath it, end. These are navigation keys. In a document or a web page, they will move your focus to the beginning or end of a line. In a list of files, the home key will move you to the top of the list and the end key to the bottom of a list. You can also press home and end in conjunction with the control key. For example, control plus the home key will move you to the top of a document, and control plus end will move you to the end of a document. The last two keys in the six-pack are the page up and page down keys, and they are the rightmost two keys in the six-pack. Page up and page down lets us scroll through documents or file lists. It's equivalent to a mouse user clicking on the scroll bar on the side of the window or using the thumb wheel on the mouse. Page up will scroll up, page down will scroll down. Let's go back to the left bottom corner of the keyboard. Above the control key, we have the shift key. The shift key is, of course, used for entering uppercase text, but it's also the way we select things when using Windows from the keyboard. Imagine you are in a Word document and you press the home key to take your cursor to the beginning of the line. If you then hold down the shift key and press end,
you will move your cursor to the end of the line, but you will also select that entire line. If you hold down the shift key while moving the arrow keys, you will select those characters as you move across them. The shift key is equivalent to holding down the left mouse button to select items as you drag the mouse.
Above the shift key is the caps lock key, and above the caps lock key is the tab key. This is a very important navigation key. When using Windows from the keyboard, you will press tab extensively to navigate between items in a dialog box or within the ribbons and in many other places. Pressing tab will move to the next item. If you press shift tab, it will move to the previous item. Above the tab key is the number row, and above the number row is the row of function keys. To the left of F1 is the escape key, and escape is used to cancel a function or to escape out of a window that we do not want to be in. The function keys do different things for different programs. For example, F1 will typically open a help window, and F4, when pressed in combination with Alt, so hold down the Alt key and press F4, will close the current window. This is equivalent to a mouse user pressing the X in the title bar to close a window. Now let's move on to discussing the general working areas within Windows. This includes the desktop, the start menu, the taskbar, and the notification area. When you first start up your computer, you are placed on the desktop. If you're not on the desktop, you can easily place focus on the desktop by holding down the Windows key and pressing the letter M, as in minimize. The Windows key plus M will minimize all your open windows onto the taskbar and then place you on the desktop. The desktop consists of icons arranged in a grid. You navigate around this grid with the left, right, up, and down arrows. The icons are used to launch apps, or open a website, or open a file or folder. Windows consists of standard desktop icons, such as the recycle bin, but you can also add your own. Besides using the navigation arrow keys to move around the desktop icons, you can also press the first letter of an icon to jump to that icon and place focus on it. For example, for the recycle bin, you could press R. If you have more than one icon beginning with R, you press it multiple times until you reach the icon you're interested in. You will know you have focus on the icon because it will be highlighted visually, or your screen reader will speak it for you. First letter navigation can be used extensively in Windows whenever you are in a list view, such as the desktop or a list of files. While on the desktop, if you press the tab key, you will move to the start button. The start button is in the bottom left corner of the screen. If you press enter on the start button, you will open the start menu. When the start menu is opened, focus is placed on a search edit box. This is the Windows search facility. You can type any search into this field, such as a file name or the name of an app. For example, you could type Zoom if you wanted to run the Zoom app that we're all now listening to for this meeting. When you type into the search box, the list of matching results will appear above the start button as you type. As soon as you see the item that you're interested in, likely even before you finish typing its name, you can press enter to open it. When I type ZOO, the Zoom desktop app appears at the top of the list even before I finish typing it, and I can press enter to open the Zoom app. To exit from the start menu, press the escape key or the Windows key again. While in the start search box, instead of typing a search string, you can also press the up arrow, and this will open up a list of all your apps. You may hear apps that have been recently installed, but if you keep pressing down arrow, you will get to a list of apps that are arranged alphabetically. While you're arrowing down through the list of applications, some may be arranged in folders, because there may be several functions related to that app that's available in the subfolder. To open the subfolder, press the right arrow key, and then down arrow through the submenu of choices related to that application. Again, to leave the Windows Start menu, just press the Escape key. While focused on the Start button, press Tab again to navigate to the next Windows working area, which is the taskbar. The taskbar is a horizontal bar across the bottom of the screen, and it contains icons to windows that we currently have open, to applications that we are currently working on. So if you have Word, Excel, and Outlook all open at the same time, you will have those three items on the taskbar. You can move back and forth between those app icons with the left and right arrows. If you want to open the window for one of the apps and return to do more work in that window, just press the Enter key. Finally, we can press Tab while on the taskbar and move to the last working area, the notification area. You can press down arrow here to open the system tray. The system tray consists of background tasks running on your computer, such as your volume control, perhaps OneDrive if you use Microsoft OneDrive, perhaps Dropbox if you use Dropbox in the background. And in my case, the JAWS screen reader program is also on the system tray. Finally, if we press Tab from the notification area or system tray, we will move to a button called Show Desktop. Some people may wish to hide the desktop to make more blank space on their screen, and this button would make the desktop reappear. For blind people, I don't recommend that we hide the desktop. Finally, if you press Tab once more, you'll come back to the desktop icons again. So pressing Tab multiple times takes us from the desktop to the Start menu button, and then to the taskbar, and then to the notification area, then to the Show Desktop button, and finally back to the desktop. If you combine Shift when you're pressing Tab, you'll move through those same working areas, but in the other direction. Before concluding this initial presentation, I'd like to talk about the very important Applications key. When you press the Applications key, which is to the left of the right control key, Windows presents a menu of choices related to the item that has focus. For example, if we're on the desktop and we navigate with the arrow keys or with first letter navigation to an icon and then press the Applications key, a menu will show related to things we can do with that icon. For example, rename it, or delete it, or activate it, open it, or bring up its properties. You can arrow up and down this menu and press Enter to activate the menu item or press Escape to close it. If you're in your email program in the inbox and you're arrowing up and down your list of messages, if you press the Applications key on one of those messages, the contextual menu will give you choices such as opening the email message, which is the same as pressing Enter when you're on the list, or it might have option to delete the message, perhaps to add it to your junk folder and block additional messages from that sender. When using Windows from the keyboard, we will be pressing the application key in many instances to help us find the function that we need to perform. In Windows, people will say, "I can't find how to do this or how to do that." And often the answer is, "Did you press the applications key and see if what you want to do is in the contextual menu?" This concludes the initial presentation on using Windows 10 from the keyboard.
Thank you for listening to the GTT podcast from the Canadian Council of the Blind. There are many ways to get in touch with us. You can call us toll-free at 1-877-304-0968. You can follow our GTT blog at gttprogram.blog. If you'd like to subscribe to our email support list, you can send a blank email to gttsupport+subscribe@groups.io. And you can follow the Canadian Council of the Blind on the web at ccbnational.org.